Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no-apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. This week we begin to look at Jesus' teaching, and we'll start with the Beatitudes. These proverb-like blessings hold the key to life in the kingdom of heaven, a central theme to Jesus' teaching, especially in Matthew's Gospel. So grab your Bible, open it to Matthew chapter 5, and prepare your hearts and minds as we take a look at what it means to be the blessed. Please take out your Bibles, either the ones that you brought with you or the ones in the pews, and open them with me to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We are in the midst of a series where we are learning about the early part of Christ's ministry. For the last 2 weeks, we have been talking about Jesus' calling, how he calls his disciples. In the first week, we talked about Andrew and how he was a seeker and he came seeking, and Jesus said to him, "What are you looking for?" Simon Peter was invited by his brother Andrew, and Jesus gave him a new identity. Last week we talked about how Jesus calls each and every one of us, and how do we respond to that call. This week we begin to take a deeper look at the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. It's probably the best known of all of Christ's teaching. This Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 through 7 of Matthew's Gospel. And we're going to begin with the Beatitudes this morning. So let us hear the word of the Lord for us this morning. And as we read this, why don't we stand? When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this afternoon, we are in for a treat. Beginning at 6 o'clock tonight, the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks are going to face off in the Super Bowl. This is the pinnacle of professional football. Every season, we start out with 32 teams, every one of them trying to be number one. Then the playoffs begin, and we start with 12 teams. 12 teams go down to 8, 8 down to 4, 4 down to 2, and now the two top teams in all of professional football are going to face off for the chance to show once and for all which team is the best. Now, I and my household will be rooting for the Seattle Seahawks because we have ties in the Washington area. But root for whoever you like. The point of the game is to enjoy the game. Who is going to win? We look at the number one defense versus the number one offense. It's going to be a fantastic game. Who's going to win? Peyton Manning or Russell Wilson? We'll find out tonight. We'll find out tonight. What does that have to do with the Beatitudes? Nothing. Just felt like talking about the Super Bowl. Oh, the Beatitudes. Let's shift gears a little bit. The Beatitudes. When I was a kid, I used to wonder, what does it mean? What are the Beatitudes? Or why are they called the Beatitudes? It doesn't say the Beatitudes in my Bible. A pastor that I had once said to me that they are the Beatitudes, not the Do-attitudes. They are about not what we do, but about what we are as Christians. And I like that. Actually, the word beatitude, it comes from the Latin. The Latin word is beatitudos, which means blessings. Blessings. We certainly hear the word blessed a lot in this text. And so these are blessings, the Beatitudes. We find out in this text that Jesus says when he saw the crowds, there were crowds of people who were coming to him. Large crowds of people, not just a few. He went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to speak, and he taught them. When Jesus taught, he taught with authority. He taught with authority not as the rabbis did. At that time, the rabbis would point to someone else. It would say, Rabbi such and such said this, you know. And so they would speak on someone else's authority, someone who was established. But Jesus spoke of his own authority. Jesus was the very living Word of God. And he began to speak. He taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Well, we know what it means to be poor. To be poor means to be lacking in some way. And it doesn't necessarily mean poor in money, although most people who are called poor are lacking in money or possessions, but you can have an iron poor diet. To be poor means to be lacking. So those who are poor in spirit are lacking in spirit. They're weighed down by the pressures of the world. But Jesus assures them, he says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Notice he doesn't say theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. They will inherit the kingdom of heaven, but no, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, the present tense, right now. He says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We are all, at one point or another in our lives, in periods of mourning. And Jesus assures us that we will be comforted. It's not a radical new statement that he's making. Psalm 30 tells us, for his anger is but for a moment, his favor for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes in the morning. When we mourn, God mourns with us. I think of Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, even knowing what was going to happen, even knowing that Lazarus was going to come out of that tomb alive. John 11:35, the shortest verse in the entire Bible, says Jesus wept. He had compassion for his people. He mourned with his people. We will be comforted when we mourn. We will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. I think in our modern times, we have turned the word meekness to a different meaning. Nowadays, we equate meekness with weakness. But that's not what it means. Meekness is power under control. Power under control. Numbers chapter 12 tells us that the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Moses was called the meekest of all. And yet he led 600,000 Jews out of Egypt and in a wilderness for 40 years. Does that sound like a person who is weak? No. But what made Moses meek was the fact that he subjected himself to God's will. He was a servant of God. He was a servant leader. And this is a concept that has been seeing a resurgence as of late. A lot of colleges now are teaching servant leadership. It's not really something that can be taught. It's really something, it's sort of a state of your heart, but it gets you thinking about what it means to be a leader and how you can be a servant and be a leader at the same time. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. God will never deny anyone who seeks more of Him. God will never deny anyone who seeks more of Him, who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It says they will be filled. The word filled there, it means to be satisfied, completely satisfied. You know, tonight many people will be having Super Bowl parties, and there will be a lot of food there. And usually by the third quarter, you're just kind of sitting back on the couch going, I never want to look at food again. I'm done with food for the rest of my life, you know. Satisfied. You don't want any more. You have no more desire. You're okay. You've been filled to the brim. And that's the kind of satisfaction that is being spoken of here. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. We get what we give in the kingdom of God. We get what we give. Psalm 18 tells us, with the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With a pure, you will show yourself pure. And with a devious, you will show yourself shrewd. We get what we give in the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. It's purity of heart, not purity of body. You see, the Sadducees and the Pharisees of that time were pure in everything that they did, but not necessarily in everything that they thought or everything that they felt or everything that they desired. It's one thing to be pure in body. It's something completely different to be pure in heart. Being pure in heart means having a heart for God. It means having a heart where that can only be satisfied with more of God, not more of what the world tells us we should have. 1 Samuel chapter 16 tells us that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So what we do is not necessarily what is in our hearts, but blessed is the pure in heart. Blessed is the pure in heart. At the core of our being, if we're pure, God demands purity. He requires it because He is a holy God. A holy God who cannot abide sin. And so, He requires of His faithful purity of heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. It's peacemakers. They make peace, not peacekeepers, because there's a big difference between a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. The Middle East right now is full of peacekeepers and not a lot of peacemakers. Making peace where there is no peace. Peacemakers. And finally, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There are 8 Beatitudes, and the first 7 deal with the content of our character. And the last one deals with how we are treated for staying true to that character. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I think about the recent news about Phil Robertson. Who here knows who Phil Robertson is? Okay. I'm going to make an admission here. I have never watched a single minute of Duck Dynasty and never knew who Phil Robertson was until he made the news for making what they called anti-gay comments. But I read the transcript of what he said, and in fact, the only thing he did was he quoted from the book of Colossians. He quoted from the book of Colossians. And he stood up for his own convictions. And he was persecuted He was persecuted. His network threatened to drop him. They suspended him, actually, from his own show. A network, by the way, which features television shows that feature zombies and meth labs, dropped a Christian man for quoting the Bible. That's the world. What does the world value? And he was persecuted for righteousness' sake. He didn't mince words. He didn't apologize for the word of God. He held it up. And that's what we are to do. That's why we stood this morning when we read from God's holy word. You know, the Jews, when they read the scriptures, the rabbi will take the scroll and bring it out into the congregation. And they will come out and kiss the scroll. That's the kind of reverence that they offer to the Word of God, the very Word of God. And we, as Christians, don't do that. Well, maybe we should. Because it's something that God has imparted this Word to us. Verse 11 tells us, "Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." What the world tells us is good often flies in the face of what God requires of us or asks of us. And so, if we're being persecuted for our beliefs by the world, we must be doing something right. Who do we value? Do we value what the world tells us, or do we value what God tells us? "Rejoice and be glad," it says, "for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The prophets, men of God, who spoke, I should say men and women, because there were women prophets spoken of in the Bible. Men and women who spoke the word of God and were faithful no matter what the consequences were. Jeremiah was thrown into a pit. Isaiah was sawn in half for proclaiming the word of God faithfully. And Jesus said the prophets were treated deplorably. And if you're treated the same way, rejoice and be glad. Again, as people of God, we don't think of life beginning and ending here on earth. But this is just the very beginning of an eternal life. We only spend 100 years on this planet. We spend an eternity with God. So whatever we do here, whatever happens to us here, okay, I can endure. And that's what Jesus is saying. Endure. Your reward will be great in heaven. What we see in the Beatitudes, the first thing that strikes me while reading this is that verse 3 and verse 10 mirror each other. It begins and ends with a promise of the kingdom of heaven. You know, Matthew, in his gospel, the phrase kingdom of heaven is unique in all the Bible to Matthew. He uses the word kingdom 55 times in his gospel, and 37 of those times it says kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven. It was the central message of Jesus' ministry. Remember, his ministry in the Judean wilderness began with the message, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And now he is saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The kingdom of heaven is central to the message that Jesus was proclaiming. The kingdom of heaven, the qualities of those who reside there. Compare what God requires to what the world says is okay. Micah 6 says, says, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" Micah was saying, all this sin in my life has to be atoned for. And the way the Jews atoned for their sin was to make a sacrifice. So all the sacrifices in the world, will they make God happy? That's the question that Micah asks, and God answers him. "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." That's all. What the world tells us is okay is not okay in God's eyes. We need to aspire to the standards of God, not the standards of the fickle world. The world's standards today change. The world's standards today are not the same as the world's standards 50 years ago. 50 years ago, you wouldn't see young people in schools dressed the way they are today. Thanks for the amen. I love that. I get chills. But God's standards are eternal. God always requires the same. He requires purity. He requires it. He demands it. Why? Because he is a holy God. He is a holy God, and sin cannot enter into his presence. And God loved us so much that he knew that we were messing up, and he knew that we would continue to mess up. And so what did he do? He sent his son, his only son, to die on a cross as a sacrifice, the final sacrifice for all the sins of the world. The final sacrifice. God desires obedience, not sacrifice. He wants us to love him completely. We talked about it last week, that God, the love that we have for God is unconditional. The same as his love for us. He calls us to that unconditional love. And Deuteronomy says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. With everything that you have, love God. That's what he calls us to. This week we celebrate Holy Communion. It's a time when we take simple elements of bread and grape juice and we celebrate a supper with our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, there are people who call Jesus their Lord, but think they can save themselves by their actions. There are people who call Jesus their Savior, but don't acknowledge his authority in their lives. We come to the table today, invited by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, who stepped off his throne in heaven to hang on a cross for our sins. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And he invites us to the table to share in the kingdom of heaven. This month, as we go through this series on Jesus' teaching, we're going to keep the theme of the kingdom of heaven foremost in our minds, and know that the kingdom of heaven is not heaven, but the kingdom of heaven here on earth. It's here. It's now. And Christ invites you to be part of that kingdom. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this awesome teaching. Though your message is strong, Lord, your messenger is weak, and I pray that you would speak through me to the hearts of your faithful, to the hearts of those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, to the hearts of those who may be in a period of mourning to the hearts of those who may feel like the world is pressing down upon them. Lift them up, Lord. Lift them up. Give them your blessing. And as we come to your table, Lord, we ask that you would bless each and every one of us here today. Bless us and fill us with your Spirit that we may go into the world and be for the world a blessing. It is in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. If our message has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.